Toward the end of last year, seemed to be a lot of folks saying, I'm ready for this year to be over. As if things were magically going to be different in this year. Well, this one ain't starting out so good either. And in all of this, now, let me back up here. This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Whatever's going on in this world, it's not affecting the Lord. It's not affecting his ability to take care of his people. It's not affecting his ability to rule over his creation. The Lord can do what he wants to do. I wonder if he's just not waiting for us as his people to get to the place where we really and truly are trusting and depending upon him. You might say, well, preacher, I've been doing that. I know. But could you do any better at it? Yeah, I think we all have room for improvement. We all have room for improvement in trusting and depending upon the Lord. Now, I realize things happen that really bring us to that place, but we need to be there every day. Every day. So what's on our heart this morning? Something you'll find in Philippians chapter 3, where Paul speaks about forgetting things that are behind and reaching forth. Reaching forth. Forgetting things that are behind and reaching forth. All right, so let me just read a few verses. And this is one of those passages that's kind of hard to jump in the middle of it. I need to read a few verses of scripture for context. Paul has been speaking about the many advantages that he had as a Jew. You know, and he said, and he talks about how that he might have confidence in the flesh, verse 4. Philippians chapter 3, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. In other words, Paul, as if you want credentials as far as being in the Jews' religion, he had it. He was the rising star among them. He was exceedingly zealous. And he speaks of the times that he went about persecuting the church. In my latter years, I've come to the place where I'm convinced that Paul's thorn in the flesh that he begged the Lord three times to remove, I'm persuaded. Now, I could be wrong, and if you have a different opinion about that, that's fine, but I just say I've come to the conclusion that Paul felt like that his thorn in the flesh was that remembrance of the times and the people among God's people who he had persecuted, and some had even consented to them being put to death. And I know that bothered Paul a lot, but the Lord said, he didn't remove that thorn. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Did you get that? My strength is made perfect in weakness. That is, his strength shines forth from us in our weakness. When we come to the place where we say, Lord, I cannot handle this, but you can, then, like Brother Ferris used to say, you're not in bad shape, you're in good shape. You may think you're in bad shape, but you're actually in a good place to be when you come to the place where you realize, it's not my strength, Lord, I need your help in everything we face. And so, in face of all those credentials, all that confidence that Paul had in those kinds of things, He goes on to say, verse 7, but what things were gain to me? Those things that he made use of, those things that were an advantage to him, those things that put him in the place of that he was, those things which were gain to me, he says, I counted loss for Christ. A change had taken place. He was no longer trusting in the flesh. He was no longer trusting in those advantages that he had in the past. Those are the things he's talking about he's going to put behind or forget. All right? So let's just keep reading here. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Before we go on, this idea of winning Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are you always on the spiritual mountaintop? Are you always happy in the Lord? Or does life sometimes slap you in the face and bring you down? Are you always just feel like that you're trusting in the Lord so that you can be fearless of the power of His might? Or sometimes we feel weak and not able and begging the Lord for help and strength. You see, this idea of winning Christ, Paul said there's times when the way we're living and the condition of our heart and the condition of our mind, there's times when we feel the power of the Lord. We feel the love of God. We feel the strength that He gives us. Sometimes we're not there. Sometimes in our mind we've gone off astray. Maybe our heart is distracted. Whatever the case might be, this idea of winning Christ, it takes effort to stay close with this old flesh, the world. We have a lot that's pulling us away from godliness. And to stay close to the Lord and to feel His loving arms around about us and to feel that we're in His watch care and safekeeping, it takes some effort. Jesus said, talk about pressing into the kingdom. It takes some effort. It takes some thought. When we wake up in the morning, do we rush into our day? Or we take a little time to say, Lord, I'm going to need your help today. That's the best way you can start your day. Is thinking about the goodness and mercy of God and your need of Him. There's so many things in this world that can distract us. There's so many things in this world that can take us off guard. So we need to be asking the Lord for His help early in our day so that we can have that armor on us. And we're prepared for whatever we encounter throughout the day. All right? When we do that, then we're staying closer to the Lord. All right? He says, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. To the born-again child of God, having His Spirit within us, having that compass, having that guide, having that witness, having that conscience, all the things that the Spirit helps us with, so that we, by faith, because that faith is in there, when we're born of the Spirit of God, He gives us faith. And it pleases God when we act upon that, when we act upon the leadership of the Spirit, when we trust in His promises, when we remember His word and live our lives and make our choices and our decisions based upon what would please the Lord. When we're doing that, we're walking by faith. We're doing those things which are pleasing unto Him. When we're not doing those things, then we're going our own way. And oh, how we need the help of the Lord to stay close to Him, that we can have that we may win Christ, that we may feel His presence with us and not feel like that we walked off and left Him behind. We need that, don't we? That I may know Him. That I may know Him. Now, didn't the Apostle Paul know the Lord? Did he know everything about the Lord he needed to know? No. Do you? No. Paul is speaking about experiencing His mercy and His grace every day. There's something new to learn about the Lord every day. I don't mean new facts and things so much. I mean, there is that as far as reading His Word and treasuring up His Word and growing in our understanding of what His will is that He's revealed to us in His Word. But we need that experience on a daily basis. We need to be walking with the Lord. We need to be found in Him, not having our own righteousness, not trusting in anything that we have had previously, but wholly trusting in the Lord. Paul said that I may know Him, have that intimate relationship, and to feel that intimate relationship with the Lord, that I may know Him. All right? What else does he say? And the power of His resurrection. Oh, don't we rejoice in the thought of the resurrection? That someday when this life is over, Jesus is coming back and He's going to call those that are in the graves, and He's going to change those who are alive and remain. We're all of His people are going to be caught up together with Him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be. And what's going to be left behind is all of our problems, all of our heartaches, all of our trials that we had here. We rejoice in the thought of the resurrection. That's our hope, isn't it? But the power of it is not always with us each day. Paul is speaking about having that frame of mind, having that condition of heart, that we feel the love of God, that we want to do the will of God, that we want to serve the Lord faithfully out of thanksgiving and gratitude for all that He's done for us, as we hope for the resurrection and as we want to live faithfully to Him every day until that time. To know Him and to know the power of His resurrection. That resurrection, to know that He has overcome death. And He did it for us. And death is not going to hold us. There's going to be a time when we're going to breathe out our last, if the Lord doesn't come before that time. But bless your hearts, we don't have to fear death because Jesus went there for us. And bless your hearts, if we're in Christ, then if a man keep my sayings, Jesus said, he shall never see death. Think about that for a moment. If a man keep my saying, if he has the Spirit of God in him, if he has the desire to do the will, you know, it's God that worketh in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. That means we're one of His children and we're born of His Spirit. We've got the Spirit in us to lead us and guide us. And if it's there, then Jesus died for you. They're the only ones that's going to keep His sayings. The world's not going to do that. You, without the Spirit of God, you're not going to do that. If a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. That tells me something. That tells me that when we breathe out our last, just like that, we're in the presence of the Lord. You know, there are many, many, many people in this world who think that when a person dies, they go to some intermediate place and some conditions have to be met for them to go on into heaven. Now, that may be a poor way of expressing it, and I may not be entirely accurate, but that's the general idea. That's not what the Scripture says. The Scripture says, we'll not see death. For the child of God who passes before he comes back, death is simply, as soon as we close our eyes here and breathe out our last, we awake in his presence in paradise. Isn't that what he told the thief beside him? Lord, when thou comest into thy kingdom, remember me. He said, today. Well, we could get off on that one a little bit, couldn't we? We're not waiting for him to bring a kingdom back here. He's sitting on his throne right now. And he told that thief at his side, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. As soon as that thief breathed out his last, he would be with Jesus. Jesus died first. All right, so when we think about that I may know him, Paul says, and the power of his resurrection. That message of the resurrection is what turned the world upside down as the apostles went about preaching the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. It's the most powerful message we have. That Jesus has died for our sins, that we're in him. And Jesus said before he went to the cross, because I live, ye shall live also. And then he died. He didn't stay there. 3 days and three nights later, he arose. And he showed himself openly to his apostles. He showed himself openly to many, above 500 brethren at once. But the indication is from Scripture that he only appeared to believers. There's nothing that the Scripture indicates that people of the world saw him after his resurrection. Only believers. You know, isn't that interesting? It's only believers that see him really, really and truly see him today. It's only believers who understand who he truly is today. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus told Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee. It's not something that man can do for another. It's something that the Holy Spirit of God has to do. Come, quicken them from a death in sins to a life in Christ. Paul wanted to know him and the power of his resurrection every day. And he goes on to say, the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. The fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death. I want to go ahead and get this next verse so I can connect this together. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul is not saying that by the abundance of his good works he will earn his resurrection. What Paul is saying is, I want to be faithful even unto death. Because it's only after death or after we're changed that we'll enjoy the resurrection. Paul, no matter what, he said, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection being made conformable unto his death, if that by any means. Whatever Paul had to suffer, he said, bring it on. Whatever I have to suffer, whatever I have, the Lord calls upon me to do. You know, the Lord called upon the Apostle Paul to do a lot of things, and several times it brought him to a near-death experience. I mean, and I'm not preaching Paul here, I'm preaching the grace of God that was with Paul. But Paul was faithful to God, and Paul said, whatever the Lord calls upon me to do. He was in a shipwreck several nights. He was in that storm that preceded that. He was stoned. He was beaten with stripes. There was one time when they stoned him and drug him outside the city and left him for dead. And for all they knew, he was dead. But the Lord had mercy on him. And the Lord revived him. He said, look, I've suffered tremendously. I'm willing to suffer whatever it takes until the time of our resurrection. Oh, as we think about it, Paul was willing to do that. Now, this is an example to us because Paul enjoyed great fellowship with God. Paul learned, you know, he said, I've learned whatsoever state I'm in therewith to be content. Okay? He knew how to abound, and he knew how to suffer. Okay? All right. Hopefully we'll get to our text in just a second. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Jesus Christ. Brethren, here's our text. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now that's a mouthful. But let's think about what Paul is saying. Because what he's saying, as far as what he's doing, is what we should follow as an example to live our lives in forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth and pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. All right? Forgetting those things which are behind. I briefly mentioned at the beginning of my message this morning that a lot of people was talking about toward the end of the year, would be glad when that year's over so we could start a new one. Well, not much has changed, has it? But in the context here, primarily, Paul is talking about all those advantages that he had as a Jew. He's forgetting those things. His confidence is not in the flesh, but in God. All right? But no doubt that those other things are included in that when he said, forgetting those things which are behind. Not only all those things that he had much confidence in, but also his persecuting of the church. Forgetting those things which are behind. The word, when you look up the meaning for that forgetting, it means turning it loose. It even means neglecting it. Now, this is important for us. Turning it loose, even to the point of neglecting it. All right? You know, sometimes we have a tendency to drag some baggage along with us in our life. We think about things that we wish we had done differently. And the devil is very, very consistent in reminding us, who do you think you are? Look what you've done. Look what's been in the past. Well, you know what? We can't change anything in the past. We've got today. We don't even know if we've got tomorrow. So, when Paul said forgetting those things which are behind, and as far as the Apostle Paul and depending upon his own flesh and the advantages that he had in that, certainly that's what he's talking about, forgetting that. Because now he wants to win Christ, so to speak. He wants to be faithful to the Lord. He wants to be in fellowship with the Lord each day. He wants to walk in his presence. He wants to walk before him with a clear conscience, serving the Lord as best he can. And you can't do that by remembering all those things of the past, the times when you messed up, times when you whatever. The devil likes to use those things to drag us down and to limit our faithfulness to God. Forget those things. We have an abundance. We have complete forgiveness in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's the one who has already suffered for our sins. He's the one that has put away our sins. Don't remember those things anymore. Put those things behind you and press toward the mark. If we're going to serve God faithfully today, then we might just say, Lord, forgive me for all the times that I've come short in the past. But give me grace and your spirit that we may press toward the mark today and leave that junk behind and press toward the mark. We'll talk about the mark in just a minute. But we need to do that. That's what Paul did. When he kept praying for the Lord to remove that thorn, the Lord said, no. The Lord had a higher purpose for that, by the way. But he said, my grace is sufficient. Bless your hearts, if we're leaning and depending upon the Lord, and if we're trusting him for his grace for us to get through our day, then we're in good shape. Because we need the Lord on a daily basis. We need his help. Our strength is nothing. But he has all power. All right? So he says, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth. Reaching forth. When we think about if we forget those things, even to the point of neglecting, just don't bring it to mind anymore. Forget those things. You know, this pattern is given to us in other places in Scripture. I'll give you a couple of them this morning, but you'll find it in a lot of places. How about Hebrews 12? When Paul is speaking about the Christian race, he says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run the race with patience. You see, it's the same pattern. Well, same truth, same need. That's what we need to do. The Lord said it best. Of course, now, what the Spirit inspired Paul to write was truth as well. But the Lord also said it this way. If any man will come after me. Remember that? That's what we want to do each day, isn't it? As a matter of fact, when you understand what he's saying there, he says, if any man will be like me, that's what we want to do. We want to be like him, don't we? We want our actions, our choices, our decisions, our reactions in this world every day as we press toward the mark, we want them to look like Christ. How else is the world going to see Christ in us if we don't make decisions and actions that are like him and like he would make? That's how we let our light shine. That's how we show forth Christ to the world. So he said, lay aside every weight, sin which does easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is before, looking unto Jesus. See, when he talks about pressing toward the mark, and in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, that's the same mark. Right? We want to be like him. And if we're going to be like him, then we need to live our life the way he would live it. And perhaps it's easier to understand when we react to adversity. That's where the real challenge is, isn't it? To react the way the Lord would have us to react. The way he reacted to things. Oh, as we think about laying aside those things. Now, Jesus said, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. In other words, there's some inventory you need to take real quickly. And deny selfish desires, to live for self, to trust in self, to have confidence in the flesh. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. To take up our cross is to remember that he's called us to follow him. And that's the last part of it, is follow him. There's a way to follow him by taking up our cross first. If we're not taking up our cross, we're not thinking the way we should about how we should serve him throughout our day, we're likely to go our own way. And so as we think about it, coming back to Philippians now, let us, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. That ought to be our standard for our day. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth so that we can press toward the mark. The Lord is that mark of perfection. The analogy here is like a runner in a race, but he's running for the finish line. Well, bless your hearts, we're not going to be perfect this side of glory, but we want to be more and more like our Lord. We want to get closer and closer to Him each day. And so as we think about what He's saying, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. You know, heaven's pure world is going to be a marvelous prize, isn't it? But that doesn't depend upon your efforts. But enjoying the presence of the Lord, depending upon His help and His strength and His grace for our daily race right now, when we can do that, what a blessing that is each day we live. We press toward that mark each day. It's only by the blood of Jesus that we'll be able to be in heaven's pure world. But bless your hearts, we can enjoy a little bit of heaven below. When you can feel His presence, when you can walk beside Him, when you can rejoice at His promises, when you can trust in His power to take care of us and watch after us, when you're so close to Him, I tell you, you can have a little bit of heaven right here in this low ground of sin and sorrow. Isn't that marvelous that God has designed for our life that we can trust Him and follow Him and be with Him each day? Didn't He say in John chapter 14, I'll not leave you comfortless, I will come to you? And He's talking about the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would come alongside and render aid to us while we walk here in this life. He'll not leave us comfortless. That word comfortless there means like orphans, like someone that doesn't have someone to take care of them. He's not going to leave. He didn't leave us that way. Bless your hearts. He gives us His Spirit, and He tells us that He'll come alongside and be with us. But you know, if you're not thinking about Him, if you're not thinking about His mercy, if you're not thinking about His goodness, if you're not thinking about your need of Him, you won't feel His presence nearly as much. You won't be out of His hand of care, but you won't feel His presence that much. This pressing toward the mark is doing those things that enable us to feel His presence and power with us. That's what we want each day, isn't it? To feel that we're walking with the Lord. I tell you, there's so many things in this world I wish I could change. A lot of things I wish I could change about this world. A lot of hurts that God's people are having to endure right now. I wish I could change it. I can't. For a lot of reasons, I can't. But God can. Because God can do what He chooses. Psalm 115 verse 3, I love that verse. Our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. He's done it in the past. He'll do it today. He'll do it tomorrow. He hath done whatsoever He hath pleased. So we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. All right, now listen. This pressing toward the mark, that's where God gets the glory. If you're going about your day depending upon your own strength, having confidence in your own flesh, and doing the things that you choose to do, and not remembering the goodness and mercy of God and following His will, that's no glory to God. This is where God gets glory. Pressing toward the mark. So how many days have we lived our lives leaving that off? You don't have to speak up. You can just think about that in your heart. Don't we as God's people? He's called. This is a precious calling. This is a precious privilege that He's revealed Himself unto us. That we know Him. That we know He has all power. That we know that heaven is our home. That we know that it's only by the grace of God that we have such a hope. Bless your hearts. So every day, as we begin our day, thank the Lord for His mercy and His grace. Look to the Lord for all that we stand in need of. Ask him for his help. He's so pleased when we ask him for the help we need. Pressing toward the mark. Now, that's great, preacher, but how do I do that? Well, I think I've already said it. If you stay close to the Lord, if you're asking him for his guidance, if you're looking to him for the strength you need because you know you don't have the strength yourself, that's a good start. But didn't he also tell us, and there's clues. When you read his word on a regular basis, he gives you clues. He, as a matter of fact, he tells you what that's like of pressing toward the mark. I guess one place I would start is where he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek ye first. In other words, there's a matter of priority. Are we seeking our will each day, going our own way, trying to build our own empire here in this world? Or are we seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Oh, that we could learn more. Isn't that what Paul said? That I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, that I may be made conformable unto his death. Oh, to think about what Jesus endured for us in this life. To think about how much he suffered to save us from our sins. And to think about the fact that it's only Jesus that could save us. And so we press toward the mark each day with that in mind. Seek ye first, not only that we've got responsibilities we have to attend to. It takes our mind and attention, our energies away at times. But the pattern for our day, the standard for our day, is that we're going to seek first the kingdom of God. We're going to make choices. When we have choices, we're going to make, we're going to say, Lord, what would be more pleasing to you when we make that choice? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. See, sometimes we go our own way thinking we can do our own thing and build our own empire and do all those kinds of things so that we can have those things. But the Lord says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. When the Lord is pleased with what we're doing, he blesses us. Yes, he's that good. He's so merciful and so kind and so gracious. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things. So that means we got to have a proper mindset. We have a proper heart. As we begin our day, to remember the goodness and mercy of God, to ask for his help, and to say thank you. To say thank you for all the blessings he's already so freely given to us. Even the blessing of salvation by his grace. You know, there was one that came to Jesus and brought his son, who was oftentimes had these seizures. The man brought his son to the disciples. They couldn't cast out that spirit. They couldn't help him. And the Lord told them, this cometh not out but by prayer and fasting. In prayer and fasting, we seek the Lord's help. We realize we can't do it ourselves. If we think we've got any power, it's so limited. The Lord cast that, but that the Lord told that man, if thou canst believe. If thou canst believe. And the man said, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Now, we've read a lot in the Old Testament about the unbelief of Israel and the problems that they got into. And this man in the New Testament is saying, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Do you think that could be a problem for us today? Do you think we might come short in that today? Yes. And so when we're remembering the goodness and mercy of God, when we're remembering our weakness, when we're remembering his power, it's a whole lot easier for us to lay hold upon that one who has all power both in heaven and in earth and trust in his promises. Trusting in his promises. We know what that's like, isn't it? I don't have to define trust. You know what that is. The problem is applying it. The challenge is putting it into action. You know, like Jesus said in John 13, if you know these things, happy are you if you do them. The joy of this matter comes in applying what we know, trusting God. That seems like a small thing. Seems like something that we ought to know. But think about your experience. Have there been times when you were slow to really come to the understanding that you just need to trust God with this? That's hard. We don't want to turn loose of that. But bless your hearts, the more we put our trust in him. Casting all your care upon him, Peter said, for he careth for you. Just think about the God of all creation. All the things that he looks after and all the things that he intervenes in and all the things that he does in taking care of his people every day. And yet he's mindful of you individually. That just blows my mind. To think that God is that great, but I know he is. He's able to take care of us in whatever situation. He's never too busy. He never needs any more knowledge. We don't have to acquaint him with anything. He already knows. Trust God. I'm satisfied that that's one lesson that we need to learn to a greater extent. Trusting God. Like I said, there's a lot of things I wish was different. There's a lot of things that comes to mind that we might want to try to do to make something different. And whatever it is, if it's in a godly way, then certainly we can do what we can. But our first and foremost responsibility is to be faithful to God and to live a godly life. And whatever we can do within the bounds of that, then let's do it with all our might. Trust God. When we're doing that, we're following him. Jesus committed himself unto the one that judgeth faithfully. Jesus did that, even submitting himself unto death, even the death of the cross. May God help us in following him. You know, Paul said, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. He's talking about he wanted to be faithful unto death, because at death comes the resurrection. That is, not the resurrection of the body necessarily, but being in the presence of the Lord. And, you know, I hear some people at funerals nowadays, some people will give the idea that as soon as somebody dies, and they experience the resurrection right then. Well, granted, when someone breathes out their last, they awaken his presence. But there's coming the time when these bodies are going to be raised from these graves. But bless your hearts, to be in the Lord's presence, I tell you, that's paradise already. But there's coming a time when he's coming back and all that are in the graves are going to hear his voice and come forth. Bless your hearts as we think about all those things. Let's be faithful to God right up until the time of our death. Whatever that may be, you know, let's commit ourselves. Like Daniel, he purposed in his heart that he would not sin against the Lord. Joseph in prison, he purposed that he would be faithful to God. And he was, and the Lord was with him. All right? So, seeking first the kingdom and his righteousness. His righteousness, that's the key right there, isn't it? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. I don't know if I emphasize that expression. But seeking first the kingdom is to, that word and in the original language oftentimes means even his righteousness. That's what we're seeking to do, is to live a righteous life before him. We need his help for that, don't we? We have no righteousness of our own, but we have the righteousness of Christ imputed to us. We have the Spirit of God working in us, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's given us a spiritual mind. He's given us the ability to see him, to hear him, to taste the goodness of his word. May God help us to seek the kingdom and his righteousness. By doing that, we're following him. By doing that, we're doing that which is pleasing in his sight. And when the time comes, may God help us to stand for what's right. I don't know what we'll be facing. Been some lot of changes in Washington, D.C. You know, I don't know the extent of the changes that we're going to face. But I know this, it's not going to hinder the Lord from taking care of his people. But we have to bear in mind, Jesus said, in the world you shall have tribulation. So we need not think that life is always going to be a bed of roses. All right? What we need to remember is that no matter what life is like, God is able to take care of us. God loves us. God loved us so much that he sent his son to this world to die in our room instead, that we could be with him in glory. Oh, bless your heart. Help us to seek first the kingdom, to believe his word, to trust in his promises, to follow him, and when necessary, stand for what's right. I do think we're going to see some more challenges in the days ahead. I do think, I don't know to what extent, but I do think there are going to be more challenges in the days ahead than we've had in recent years. And so it's time, it's high time for us to put our trust in the Lord and wholly depend upon his help each day to let our light shine, to give glory to his name, to bear fruits of righteousness, because that's where we're going to find peace and joy and happiness in this life. You know, you look back over Bible history, you look back over secular history, and you find that there have been times when God's people have had to suffer tremendously. You look at when the children of Israel were carried away over into Babylon. And Sister Nancy and I have talked about this a number of times. No doubt there were a lot of those people that were doing the will of God. They were trying to live their life in a way that was pleasing to the Lord. But they had to suffer along with the rest of them. But God is able. And I tell you, those that are closest to him are going to enjoy more fellowship with him. That's just the way he's designed it. And so no matter what the situation, no matter what the political climate, it may be the best political climate we've ever seen. I don't know. But even when things are going good, we need the Lord, don't we? Because we have a tendency to forget him and start trusting in ourselves. So we need the Lord every day. And when necessary, take a stand for what's right. Oh, but preacher, we don't know what we're going to have to face. I don't. Some of God's people have been burned at the stake. Some of God's people have been impaled for being faithful to God. We haven't had to suffer that. But we need to be willing to stand for what's right. But we have the promise in his word. There's a strange word in the Old Testament. Some of you heard me a lot. You know probably where I'm going with this. The word is reward. It's even hard to say. Reward with an R-E in front of it. Reward. The Lord said he's that for us. Do you know what that is? Maybe I'll read a scripture to kind of put it in kind of Isaiah 52. very quickly. I will close with this. Isaiah 52. I'm talking about the need for us to be faithful, the need for us to take a stand, and the confidence we can have when we do that. All right? Isaiah 52. Just get verse 12. The Lord says, "For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your rearward." The God of Israel will be your rearward. For an army, that was a detail of men that would come along behind as the soldiers marched. They would come along behind and take care of whatever was necessary after the rest of the army passed through. For us, what that means is when we're faithful to God, remember the armor of God, Ephesians chapter 6, the armor of God, all that armor was for the front side. The shield, you know, the breastplate, all those things, it was for the front side because we're supposed to be pressing forward, reaching forward, going forward in the service of God. There was no armor for the backside. Well, not in Ephesians 6 when he talked about it. But right here is your armor for the backside. Because that means he'll come along behind us and take care of the consequences. He's called us to be faithful to him. He's called us to take a stand. He's called us to go forward in his service. And while we put on the armor of God, and while that armor that's described in Ephesians chapter 6 speaks about everything that's in front, he promises that when we're doing his bidding, when we're walking in his will, when we're trusting in him, he'll come along behind and take care of the consequences. So when we're faced with a challenge, when we're in our mind in that nanosecond when we have to decide, are we going to be faithful to God or are we just going to go with the flow? You just remember, he's our rearward. You be faithful to God. You trust him. You follow him. You take a stand for what's right. And he will come along behind and take care of the consequences. Oh, may God help us to forget those things which are behind. And reaching forth, press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Press toward being more like him. Press toward being faithful to him. Press toward more fellowship with him. Press toward standing for what's right. May God bless you as our prayer.